Heavenly Father, we just thank you that by your grace you've drawn hearts here to hear your word, to learn more about our lovely Savior and Bridegroom, Jesus. Father, just ask that you anoint this time, that hearts would be in tune with that first trump, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would have complete rule and reign here in this message that you've prepared for your people. We come with expectant hearts, Lord, with anxiously awaiting hearts for Jesus's soon return for his bride. And God, we just ask that you bless and anoint the word as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we want to open up our Bibles in the Psalms. I've been in the Psalms quite a bit the past, I don't know, couple or 3 months, kind of in my personal study time. And I think it's interesting, from time to time, the Lord will bring me into the Psalms for a couple of months. I'm like, all right. And I appreciate that, because I know David wrote a lot of them, as well as a few others. And I know that the Psalms, a lot of times, were David really pouring out his heart before the Lord. He was very transparent with that. I think that's precious, that David was the one that God called the man after his own heart. And that wasn't because David was a perfect man. God is perfect, yes. But I think a lot of that, because David was transparent before the Lord. And you know, God's always looking at our heart. That's what he's after. That's what he's looking at. And he knows your heart anyway. But he likes to have you talk to him and fellowship with him. When you're in good times, when you're in times that are a little more troublesome. But David had that, what we call the sinny seer, that clear to the light heart. That he was just transparent before the Lord. And he cried out many a time. And he praised God many a time. So I always think it's sweet when I'm in these Psalms for a little while. I thought, well, praise you, Lord. He knows what he's doing in my life, and he knows what he's doing in everyone's life that's here. So we can be thankful for that. So in the Psalms, let's go to Psalm 107. If you'll turn there with me. Psalm 107. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. And again, we'll just use this kind of as a place to launch out into the deep, because this will get pretty deep pretty quick. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now, I think that verse 8 is wonderful, because we should praise the Lord for his goodness. Amen. I think we can all agree with that. For his wonderful works to the children of men. That is right. But verse 9 is kind of what caught my heart, because it's the reason why, or one of the reasons why, we should praise him. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And tonight, where the Lord's just directed my heart is to think about and kind of study out in verse 9, the words satisfy and the words fill, and the word fill. Satisfy and fill. And I think tonight this will just be kind of a little wonderful stroll with our Lord into some of the depths of his word. And as I mentioned earlier, this gets deep pretty quick, because in verse 9, it's the soul that's the subject of this. And a soul is pretty deep when you think about that. I remember a while back when our pastor brought a sermon about how Jesus loves your soul and how we're to love his soul. And soul love is very deep love. And I am thankful that in this word, it's not surface at all. It's all very deep, actually. And praise God by the Holy Ghost that enlightens our eyes and brings this word alive. It's as deep as you want it to be, about as quick as you want it to be. So when we're thinking of the soul and that soul love that Jesus has for you, I think it's wonderful. Soul love transcends time and distance. You think about God knew about you before he set a star in heaven. How long is he going to know about you? And I hope have fellowship, Jesus and us, as husband and wife. How long is the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come? Can't even hope to explain that. This is soul love. Soul love is the love that conquers everything. It's that love that silences the enemy quicker than anything. You know when he's yelling in your ear? Jesus, just like David, call out to him. He is right there, and it's that love that he has. It's the love that holds on to you and will not let you go. That love that pursues you, that's after you every minute of every day. That's how Jesus loves your soul. And what can we render to God and love him back? Love that soul. It's wonderful. So in this verse 9, it's the soul here. And it's interesting because this soul is described as longing and hungry. I looked up that word longing. It's a very interesting word. A longing soul is a soul that is seeking greedily, a soul that has an appetite. Isn't that something? Well, it's good to seek the Lord early and often. It's good to have an appetite for this word. And we know that God puts that in us. We know that when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, all the depths of this word start coming out. It becomes an insatiable desire, if you want to call it that, to be hungry for this word. But a longing soul is a soul that is seeking greedily, a soul that has an appetite. Now, a hungry soul is a soul that has a lack of nourishment. Now, there's a beautiful thing in this, because the thing is, with the Lord, there's really never any lack. He's complete. He's all in all. But when you think about this, hunger and longing drive need in a way. So when you think about that, it's pretty common in Christendom to say, you know, you have a need for a Savior, right? And amen. Yes, we do. But let's think of this in a little deeper sense. Do you have that sense, that hunger, that longing for a bridegroom, not just a Savior? Praise God for everyone who's saved. Praise God. But I believe that hunger and that longing in your soul and in mine is for a bridegroom. That's a deeper need in a sense. And it is a need. So again, hunger and longing, they're conditions of need. And again, this is speaking to the soul. So it is right at the heart of things. Now when you think about this hunger, and again, this is our... someplace in here, it talks about this word being our most necessary food. And I'll tell you what, it's necessary. We know these physical bodies can't go without food or water for very long, or they will cease to be. Things will happen to this physical body, but how much more so our spirit man? I think about, I eat several times a day. I don't eat a lot all at once. But every few hours, you get that hunger pang. You're like, wow, the body is telling you something. Like, feed me. But again, how much more so this, right? I mean, if the physical body craves food several times a day, that spirit man is wanting to be constantly fed by this word. And praise the Lord. Fortunately, the more you're in it, the more God will just bring things to you when you're in situations. You may not have a physical Bible with you, but you can cry out to the Lord. He'll bring a scripture. He'll bring it right away, exactly the one that you need. Whether you're testifying to someone or you're just in a situation, and that is one of the greatest comforts to my life, just having this, that it's quick. And again, that's not me doing anything. That's just his effectual power working in me. That's from just spending time with him in the Word. So we can praise God and be thankful. And when you think of this Word, thankfully here, we have what's called sound doctrine. And I love it. Many years ago, I looked up sound doctrine. I was like, sound doctrine? It literally means wholesomely nourishing. It's complete food. There are a lot of foods in the natural that are not complete. They might taste good for a while, but they're not necessarily good for you. Wholesome, nourishing, complete food, as God made it for man to take physically, but how much more so this word. And praise the Lord that here, with the full counsel of God, with Paul's gospel, that is completely nourishing to you. Nothing lacking. Everything is complete. And everything is as God would want it. And the thing is, we can sit and feast. This, it's kind of amazing. When I'm in it, I just feel like I'm looking at this table of like the most rich food ever. I mean, imagine all the food that you just love. Good food. It's all right here. And the thing is, you can get into this as often as you want to. It's just right there. And I know the Lord wants you to partake of this and to eat it, to ingest it, and praise God that we have opportunity to do that. Now, when we think of this word satisfied, in the natural, a lot of times I think we sell ourselves a little bit short on it. When I think of being satisfied, I'm thinking things are good, things are okay, they're like up to a level. It's not a bad word, but it's just satisfied, right? You're kind of thinking satisfied. But to be satisfied in the Word of God means filled to overflowing, abundance, abounding, to be saturated in something. Now that's an incredible word right there. Who would have thought? That's why I love looking up. I encourage you to look up things in the Word. These words are not necessarily what you might think they mean a lot of times. They're usually a lot richer than what you would think they might mean. But this being satisfied, as it pertains to the Word of God, is full to overflowing. Think about what Jesus said. Why did Jesus come? That we would have life and have it abundantly. Jesus doesn't want you to have a mediocre, so-so life. Not at all. That wasn't his life at all. That's not the life that lives in you. That's a super abounding, abundant life. That's a supernatural life. That's a life that is everything abundant and overflowing. When you think about satisfied in that sense, you can't help but think about Jesus. I think about him as the satisfier. He's the only one that'll do it. He's the only one. There are times, I know in life, that sometimes we'll try to fill up empty spaces with other things. Stuff. Doesn't work. It might work for a while. You might fool yourself into thinking it works for a while. But eventually the truth comes out. As they say, you can run, but you can't hide. And you know, the thing is, we're hidden in Christ, amen. We can't hide from God, he knows. But it's wonderful to think of this abundant life. And remember, the Shulamite, I was thinking of this in the Song of Solomon in chapter 4. She was described as a fountain of gardens, a well of living water, streams from Lebanon. Think how abundant that is. When you think of a fountain, that is a gusher. That is a source of water that's got power behind it. That's why it's a fountain. It's usually a lot of water, generally. So this is the life of one who's in love. If you're in love, loving that soul of Christ, this life is going to be super abundant in you. And it will be. So let's take a look at a few verses with this word satisfy, and we'll get into filling and fullness here. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 14. It's the fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy 14. We'll read the last couple of verses here. And I do think it's interesting, too, when I was looking up different kind of variations of satisfied, a lot of times it actually had to do with food, which is pretty interesting. And again, yes, there's natural food, but we're thinking about spiritual food. So I kind of like that. And we'll kind of see that as we go through a few of these here. So Deuteronomy 14, 28 and 29. So it says, at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year and lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Now again, this word satisfied, full to overflowing, abundant. Now think of the list here. The Levite is described as one who has no part nor inheritance. The stranger, the fatherless, the widow. This isn't like the rock star lineup right here. It's really not. It's people that have a lack, have a need, in a sense. But again, in Christ, there's no need. And the thing is, God creates need because he wants to fill that with all of his fullness, with all of his goodness. We all have need in our life. We all have holes. We have places that are just empty sometimes. But when you look at this, all these people here, you think, wow, those are people with a lack for sure. But look what it says, which are within the gates. They're in the city. They're inside. They're safe. They're protected. They're in there. They shall come and eat and be satisfied. Praise God. You see how many precious promises are in here? It doesn't matter what state you're in here. And like I say, we all have some lack and need, I would imagine. And it's okay. It's all right. Because, again, Jesus, the satisfier. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Psalm 22. Go back into the Psalms. Instead, I was in the Psalms. God's had me in here a lot of these. Psalm 22, verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Meek. A meek person is someone who's humble, who's of a contrite spirit. And I know in the Word, God has good things to say about the humble and those who are of a contrite and broken spirit. Because again, he's the satisfier, he's the mender, he's the one that puts you all back together when you're all falling apart. But the meek shall eat and be satisfied. So again, they're going to eat to the full and be full and overflowing. And how wonderful, because again, meek people aren't the ones that grab a lot of attention in this world right now. It's the ones usually that are loud and proud and all the things that probably are not very pleasing to the Lord. But again, these meek shall eat and be satisfied, shall praise the Lord that seek him. And when you think about David, David was seeking the Lord and he did praise him often. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back a couple chapters to Psalm 37. It's another one. Psalm 37 in verse 18 and 19. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Now, this is interesting because this brings up the topic of a famine. And we know that a famine is lack of food and water in general. There can be many types of famine. I think the most dangerous one today is a famine for the word. Wow. And again, if this natural body goes through a famine and doesn't have food and water, that is not a good thing. But how much more so the famine of the word? And that's what's in this time. And we see it everywhere. We see evidences of it. People are not understanding this because they're not reading it and they're not in it. And they're not going to meetings that have the full counsel of God. And it's a famine. It'll bring leanness to your soul. Wow. See, God always gets right at that soul. There are a lot of famines mentioned in the Word. I'm not going to go through. I think there's over 20 of them probably mentioned. But when you think about it, a famine caused Abraham to go down to Egypt. Isn't it? It's famine. A famine was over the earth, except for Egypt in Joseph's day, and drew those brothers to him. Those brothers that threw him in that pit. All of a sudden, when they were hungry, wow, where did they go? Yep. There was a 3-year famine in David's time due to Saul's wickedness. That's just a few of them. And again, there's many more. But you know, famines have they can have a drawing sense in a way. Anytime you have pain, it'll draw you somewhere. And the main thing that we want to do is be drawn to Jesus. Be drawn to the lover of your soul, the satisfier of everything, every need that you have. Now, thinking about all of this, the famine, whether it's in the natural, whether it's a famine of the word, isn't it amazing with Jesus how you can be, even in the most adverse circumstances, full to overflowing? And that's the grace of God that does that. It's like that deep down peace that you may be going through the most crazy thing ever, and you're like, God's got it. Just not really worried about it. That is not natural, and I know that you know that. Natural man and mind will be running screaming from everything. But that supernatural. That spirit in you is like, God has got it. It's going to be okay. It's already okay because it's written and it's finished. It's already done. Like a lot of people say, we already know how it ends. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. I think Paul was very familiar with this, how in the most adverse circumstances, being satisfied, being filled to overflowing. Philippians 4:12, this is a great encouragement to my life many times. Paul wrote, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, when you think of those different terms, abased, abound, full and hungry, abounding and suffer need, in the natural, there is no way those things can occur at the same time because they're opposite. You're either full or you're hungry in the natural. You're not both. You're suffering need or you're abounding. Yet, Paul, I am convinced, when Paul wrote about he knew something, you can trust he knew. He knew by experience. He knew. We follow Paul as he followed Christ. Why do we do that? Because, again, the full counsel was given to Paul, but because Paul knew. Paul experienced things. Jesus experienced things. He was here as a man. He was God. Yes, he was. But he was man. So when Paul talks about knowing both how to be abased and how to abound, and he says, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. There's a teaching, there's a lesson there that Paul had. Both to be full and to be hungry. Now, I don't know about you, but I can get that full and hungry thing because the more you fill up on this and you get full, the more the hunger drives you to more, in a way. So you see how that works, in a sense? When you're suffering need, yet you can be super abounding in the Lord. You can have great need. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's spiritual, maybe it's both. But there can be a super abounding going on at the same time. And only God can do that in your life. Now, I want to think a little bit here about another meaning of this word satisfy. To saturate was another meaning of it. And this was wonderful. I looked it up in an old dictionary that I have that actually has scriptures in it, which is pretty neat. But in that dictionary, to saturate something means to cause a substance to unite with the greatest possible amount of another substance, to supply to fullness. That's in a dictionary. Wow. And I think if your mind and heart don't have an explosion on that, wow. Because I think that word saturate, isn't that the one with Christ? The full uniting of things? Right? This mystical body, this rib portion. I was thinking and going back and reading in Genesis chapter 3. First Adam, when his wife was brought to him, he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. That was the first husband and wife right there, Adam and Eve. Now we'll remember that phrase taken out means to be snatched away in marriage. We have gone over that here before, and I am so thankful. Again, look up these things. They're incredible in meaning. So there was a first wife for the first Adam. There's going to be a wife for Jesus, the second Adam, taken out of the body of believers. It's a rib portion. And praise God, that's the call in our lives. We wouldn't be here in this meeting if it wasn't. And I'm just so thankful that God has graced us to be in this truth, in this depth of soul love, in this immense, incredible saturation in the Word. It's pretty amazing. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is what it is, and we are a blessed people. So to think about this saturation, to be saturated is our reality with and in Christ, is it not? It is. Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. You know, you can think about that as in this earthly temple here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is dwelling in you, in this vessel. But he's also in the corporate body. Whether saved, whether seeking a bridegroom, whether your soul is hungering after just Christ as Savior or as a bridegroom, Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. It dwells bodily. Praise God. I love that. Ephesians 1:23, Christ's body of believers is described as the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now that's a lot of fullness right there. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's the fullness that pleases the Father. If you want to jot down Colossians 1:17-19 and give that a read sometime. It's the fullness that comes from knowing the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that we might again be filled with the fullness of God. You see how this keeps circling around, coming back to the fullness of God all the time? It's the fullness of the stature of Christ in the mature sons that's developed by grace and grace alone. That's what it is. And one of my favorite psalms, I love this. It has this word satisfied in it, Psalm 17:15. Let's go over there, go back a little bit. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. It's like waking up out of sleep. And you know, we have a lot of encouragement in this place to be fully awake, to be fully engaged, to be alive. That life of Christ living in you is fully awake and engaged and alive. I can guarantee you it is. But I love it. Beholding his face in righteousness. Wow, that's the beginning of that forever moment. The exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come. And talk about a satisfaction. That will be a satisfaction, a full to overflowing, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful moment. And I don't think that we can miss Philippians 4:19 if we're thinking about fullness and supply. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I can't tell you how many times I've probably studied out every word in that verse, and that would be a whole nother study. But for a few little highlights, it's my God. He's your God. He's your Abba Father. He's the one that supplies everything through his Son. Who's the satisfier? Who's the one that's full, that makes you full to overflowing? It's that power of the Holy Ghost that takes everything of Christ and makes them yours personally. So he's a personal God. Praise God. And he shall supply it. That supply means to furnish and to fill. So you see, when we have these holes in life, we have these places that are empty or maybe a little bit of lack, there's a furnishing that God does there so he can fill it. He's the furnisher and the filler, and it's all perfect. And then there's that word need. Shall supply all your need. And again, how is that done? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm always amazed. Our faithful Father, growing up his mature sons on this strong meat, this sound doctrine right here. Born little lords of all. We hear it all the time. That's how you were born. Now just grow up in grace. Now when we think about the satisfaction of abundance in knowing Christ as God incarnate came down to meet man at his point of need, which is of course a need of a Savior in the simplest form. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Amen. And what a wonderful filling there. I want to be full of grace and truth. That's that Christ life that lives in me that is full of all that. That's why by grace we apprehend things. That's why we want to be in the truth. That's why we want to be fed in this full counsel of God. Now that word dwelt, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means to tabernacle or to encamp. Now when you think about the tabernacle in the wilderness, Moses' tabernacle, that was a portable tent It moved around all the time for 40 years. They put it up, they took it down, they moved it. It moved as God moved his people. But you think about that tabernacle was the place that housed the Ark of the Covenant. That was in that Holy of Holies. That was the place where God said, I will meet and commune with man. There was that mercy seat that our pastor was just talking about and often talks about, with those covering cherubim, always looking at that blood, the immense mercy of that. Way back then, this tabernacle. So the thing is, we're little portable tents. We're moving through this life. The Christ is in us. That Holy of Holies is right here. That's your heart of hearts. That's the soul. That's that deep, deep love that God has for you. As we go through our own wilderness, and if you think about it, this life in a sense is like that. We're transients here. This is not our home. It's certainly not. We're looking for that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. And brothers and sisters, I would pray it would come before we're even done here. And I know you're with me on that. So, in kind of wrapping this up, doing okay on time. As I was meditating on this satisfying and filling and everything, the phrase filled to the brim and overflowing kept coming to my mind. And I was like, what? I thought, wow. You know, when you're in the Word and something's coming to you, it's a good time to pay attention. I thought, I'm going to look up a brim. I thought, filled to the brim. All right, a brim. We'll look it up. So I did. It's interesting. That word brim occurs 10 times in the Word of God. Number of responsibility according to ability. But 8 of the 10 times, it's in a description of a very precious vessel in Solomon's temple. It's called a molten sea. That was a laver. That was a place that the priests washed. And it was pretty big. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 4:5. 2 Chronicles 4:5. And there are, again, like 8 verses about it, but this is one here we'll take that will just capture it. 2 Chronicles 4:5. This is talking about the molten sea. It says, and the thickness of it was a handbreadth, and the brim of it like the work of the brim of a cup, with flowers of lilies, and it received and held 3,000 baths. Fairly large. A bath is about 9 gallons of water. It's a measure. I think it's kind of funny, some of these words in the Old Testament, you look them up and you think, what is that? A lot of times it's a measure. But I also think of a bath. When you take a bath, that's an immersion, isn't it? I mean, I just think about these things. I'm like, baths, okay, it's 9 gallons, it's a measurement. But also, it's an immersion. When people are baptized here, they're immersed. They're not have water sprinkled on their head when they don't have any idea of who Christ even is. Now, this is when people are aware of Christ, what he did for them. And you're buried with him into death and raised up into life everlasting. Praise God. So thankful for this. But this brim of the molten sea was wrought or fashioned like the work of the brim of a cup with flowers of lilies. And wow, that is just a rich spiritual picture right there. Very rich. Now, when you think of a brim, what is that? Well, think of a brim of a cup. That's the point that touches your mouth. That's the point of where something comes out of the cup and goes into you. It's like a threshold, in a sense, if you want to think of it that way. And I'm so, wow. I'm pretty overwhelmed because when I thought of that, I thought of something that Jesus said to his Father at Calvary. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. He was talking about a cup. Now, I don't mean a physical one. It says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know that cup he drank was sin, was iniquity. That was a bitter, bitter cup. Wow. One that we'll never have to experience, praise God. We might have some bitter cups in our life, sure. Call them trials. But you know there's joint suffering. If you're going to rule and reign, you're going to have a sense of some of this. Not to the degree that he did. We could never touch that with a, I don't know how many foot pole or whatever you want to call it. And you know, he knew that cup. He knew. He asked his Father, but he said, thy will, not mine. And you know what? You think about the brim going back to this molten sea. It had flowers of lilies all around it. Lilies are very precious flowers. They're trumpet-shaped. They're usually white. I know there's a lot of different colors of them, but a lot of times we think of them as being white. And when you think of a flower, flowers are fragrant. They're beautiful. You think of gardens of flowers. But the flower is actually before the fruit. The fruit comes from the flower. So think about that too. You don't generally eat the flower, but we enjoy fruit, don't we, in the natural? How much more so? How fruitful was that cup that Christ drank when he took on all that sin and put that away, put that to rest forever? Wow. Just think about these things. And because he drank that cup, what cup do we drink now? The cup of salvation with eternal glory. What an exchange. Wow. I love how God does this. I love it. I love it. The joy set before him, that was that fragrant rim right there. You think about lilies crowned the pillars in Solomon's temple. That crowning part up at the top, it's lily work. That's God's work in your life. He's bringing you to that full, mature, complete stature. Praise God. So, brothers and sisters, we are definitely filled to the brim and overflowing with the love and goodness of God. Are we not? As we sit at the deep well of our Savior's love, we're fed from the fountain that will never, ever run dry. And we're feasting on this endless supply of word that is so rich and so incredible. Oh, that we would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works toward us. For he satisfies our longing soul. He fills our hungry soul with goodness. And does he not? I think we should be a thankful bunch for that. And I think that we are. This longing soul and this hungry soul that we sometimes experience, he just wants to fill it all up. So just let him. Rejoice and be thankful. Be thankful for the places that God creates in you that are preparing you to meet his Son in the air. All right. Hope it's been a blessing to you. Thank you, precious saints. Let's stand and be dismissed.